Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. We've concluded our consideration of Paul's letter to his friends in Philippi, a letter of rejoicing to be sure, and this is Thanksgiving week. It's a significant week on the American calendar, right? Thanksgiving Day, of course, and all the family traditions and great food. Black Friday and the frenzy of spending and shopping for special deals, and Wall Street's expectations. The countdown to Christmas and the end of 2019, the approach of a new year, and in this case, what might 2020 bring in American politics, the global economy, the moral revolution, an election year, the migration of millions of refugees, climate change, and so much more. Are we ready, my friends? I feel led to invite us to take a one-week break from our following the chronology of the New Testament, and instead, for this Thanksgiving week, let's focus on thanks and praise to God. Did you know that there are five very special psalms called the Hallelujah Psalms? These begin with Psalm 146 and conclude with Psalm 150. Each begins and ends with the phrase Hallelujah, which is translated in English in your Bible as Praise the Lord. Now that seems very fitting for this week, would you agree? So let's go. Grab your Bible and turn back in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, and today, Psalm 146. You notice none of these psalms have an author's name attributed to them, but they all call us to praise the Lord. You'll remember Lord, all in capital letters, is the name of God that Moses met at the burning bush, the great I Am. May I urge us to read Exodus 3 today before we begin reading Psalm 146. It will help set the tone for the entire week. Okay, now let's dig into Psalm 146, keeping these questions in mind. With what attitudes of heart and mind do you suppose this person penned the words to Psalm 146? What attributes of God appear to be most overwhelming to the author? What response does the Holy Spirit of God awaken in us as we read this psalm? Let's begin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all of my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Psalm 146, verse 1 and 2. Do you see the progression, my friends? It begins with a generic call from one person to anyone who will hear them. Praise the Lord. Next, that call turns inward, and the author calls himself or herself to actively engage in praising the God Moses met at the burning bush from deep within their own soul. Now, you'll find the Bible often refers to us human beings as uniquely designed by God with three parts, body, soul, and spirit. We understand body, we all have one, and it's temporary, and it's aging by the day, isn't it? These bodies need food, water, and especially air. These bodies don't do very well in extreme temperature variations. Dawn and I learned that living in Fargo for 8 years, and now the heat and humidity of Florida summers. Our bodies don't do well underwater or on high mountains without help breathing. But our bodies are amazing miracles of God. However, they all die, and when they do, decay begins immediately. Most Bible scholars believe soul refers to the intellect, the mind, the emotions, the heart, the reason, the will, personality, and maybe things like passion, desire, ambition, motivation. Your soul is unique to you as all those parts of you combine to form the unique person that we know you to be. Spirit, many Bible scholars believe, refers to that part of us which has morality, the capacity to discern right from wrong, the ability to discern there is a God and understand accountability and responsibility to God, and especially the ability for relationship with God. We're all born with a dysfunctional spirit, a sin nature inherited from our parents. We understand that natural tendency in all of us to selfishness, deceit, etc. That sin nature separates us from God and, if unresolved, will send us to an eternity apart from God, since Holy God refuses to allow sin in his heaven. When a person trusts fully in Jesus Christ for salvation from their sin, they are born again. They receive from God a new spiritual nature. Look, please, at John chapter 3, verse 3 to 7, as Jesus explained this to Nicodemus. This new holy spiritual nature is what brings us to heaven to be with God at death. Now, as we read Psalm 146, watch for all three, body, soul, and spirit, in interaction with God. Do you hear the determination, "I will praise the Lord," the author writes, and the lifelong perseverance, "all of my life, as long as I live"? Now ponder that a moment. Is there anything you would like to see as a dominant part of your life for the rest of your life? How about praise to God? How do you suppose that would affect you and everyone your life touches? Currently, is praise to God an important part of your personal reputation, your legacy, in view of others, family, friends, coworkers? Or is that a Sunday in church thing? Please notice the futility of living with our hopes fixed on mortal man in verse 3. Look back. How often has your identity, your ambition, your life focus depended on others? Parents, boss, teacher, coach, political leader, etc. But there is equally the danger of being totally self-reliant, isn't there? What do you see God expects us to assume personal responsibility for, and what are we to trust Him for, and what should come from our interconnectedness with other people, beginning in our family? Now think about that a minute, my friends. Do you notice in verse 4 the psalmist uses the word spirit? Do you see the description of death here? When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Do you hear echoes of the Apostle Paul in what he wrote to the Philippian Christians? Remember, "I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain." Philippians 1:20-23. In every generation, in every society, there is a fascination with death. What happens after our bodies cease to function? The Bible is clear. Our bodies begin to decay within minutes, and our souls, our spirits, remain living forever. But where? And what determines where? What is your answer to that, my dear friends? As you live this Monday, what confidence do you have about where your soul and spirit will go when your body stops normal function and it dies? What if that were to happen to you and me before midnight today? Consider John chapter 3, verse 16 to 19, and please note the difference between the word perish and the word death. We've discussed death as the separation of soul and spirit from the body. Perish is eternal separation from God in our sinful condition, together with the devil and all evil beings in a special place prepared for all evil, hell. Do you see how the author of Psalm 146 invites us in verse 5 to 10 to see how blessed a person is who has a relationship with God? What God? Oh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, the only true, living, holy God, the Creator God who made the universe, our planet, and everything, living and not, which exists. So stop here for a few seconds. I hope you always do the walking with Jesus with a pen in your hand and paper ready to write. I invite you right now, my friends, to start making a list, the attributes of God as you understand Him to be. As many attributes as you can think of. I gave you a few here to begin. Now go ahead and grow the list. Now Psalm 146 gives us quite a description of some of the great ways that God engages with us human beings that He made in His image. Do you see them as outflows of two words in verse 5, where it says, "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God"? Look back in your life, my friends. What has the help and the hope from God been like for you? What could a Psalm 146 relationship between you and God be like? Of course, that's the main reason that I write this Walking with Jesus, which began last May. I hope by now you've noticed the homepage of our website of Walking with Jesus has an archive tab, and everything we've done since May is there. You're welcome to go back any time and dig into the glorious truths of God that we've been discussing. It all points to Jesus, doesn't it? Look at verse 7 to 9 of 146. He, the Lord, upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. Is that true? Does that which nourishes our body and every living thing that breathes come from God, really? Yes, my friends. Does God somehow see and understand the plight of the oppressed? Does God really care? Can you answer yes to those questions from your own personal experience? Do you remember what we read? And God said to Moses at the burning bush, I have indeed seen the misery of my people. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned, and I've come down to rescue them. That's Exodus 3, 7 and 8. Do you remember what Matthew tells us about Jesus? When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. That's Matthew 9, 36. So is that you and me sometimes? Do you believe God sees us in our pain and cares and is concerned and is coming to our rescue? Have you told those stories to your children of how God's rescue came to you and your life? Do you see the hope in verse 8 of Psalm 146? The Lord sets the prisoner free, and the Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves righteousness. The Bible is filled with the miraculous accounts of God doing for us human beings simply what we cannot do for ourselves. When you read those reports, do you stand amazed, my friends, or do you write it off as myth? Do you know anyone who has experienced a miracle? What about you? Have you experienced a miracle? The author of this psalm seems convinced, not by hearsay, but by experience. And finally, verse 10 sure fits in our world today, doesn't it? The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. I live in Florida. Need I say more? If you're a widow or a widower, if you feel like an alien wherever you live now, do you sense God's profound love for you and his complete awareness of your need and even what you feel about your situation? Consider Psalm 33, verse 13 to 22, and take great encouragement from that. Now, my friends, do you see the contrast between the Lord loves the righteous in verse 8, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked in verse 9? And finally, in verse 10, the Lord reigns forever. Now that, my friend, should give us hope. Remember Philippians 2, 9-11 and Revelation 7, 9-12? In closing today, take a moment and look at those two pictures of the throne room of God, and I urge you to praise the Lord today. Oh, Lord Jesus, what a privilege to praise you today. I lift up all my friends before you. Help them to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.